Please remain standing if you're able to do so, so that we can pray congregationally and also reading the scriptures. So let us spend maybe a few moments to reflect your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ silently so that we can pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, when we come into your presence, we could sing of your love forever and see the glory of your perfections, and your throne sits on high. All creation bow down in front of you, praise you that you are the King of Kings, Lord of the Lords. Loving Father, soften our hearts to delight in your love for us. Change and mold us into sons and daughters of your family, so that we may experience the beauty and perfection of your love. We ask that you grant us in lifting our brothers and sisters in our congregations who are suffering physically, emotionally, family issues, and struggle spiritually. May you grant them with your love and healing power so that they may see the delights of your love and be joyful, knowing that you will never leave us. Give us strength to take fullness of your grace. Lift our eyes afresh to the cross. We pray that you grant us the privilege of knowing you and bless others who are lost in the midst of the troubled world. Heavenly Father, We confess that honoring you through our work is not always at the forefront of our minds as we strive for perfection and forget that you reign over all of us, our nations, and our lives. In the spaces of our hearts that harbor envy and ambition, we prayerfully ask you make room for humility and thanksgiving. We lift up the Hindu around the world in front of you as they are celebrating Diwali, the festival of lights, and pray for the nations of India being rich with your perfect gospel. Let your love, let your true light shine on them so that they may grow a personal relationship with you. May your love reach every unreached peoples, and let your light shine on every lost soul. Thank you for your encouragement and your guidance in our life, so that we may hear your voice through the living scripture and prayers. We continue to strive for your will, one by one, until you call us home. We pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 6, and also from Matthew chapter 4, verse 22. Luke 9, 1 through 6. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there. And from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, and when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Matthew chapter 4, verse 22. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and the father and followed him. These are reading of the living words. Please be seated. Thank you for your standing up for so long. Good morning. Good morning to Rutgers Community Christian Church. English Congregation Service this Sunday morning. We are very glad very grateful that you can join us in the sanctuary right here and also virtually through the internet. Indeed, the technology enables us to connect together. As many of you know that Pastor Steve Chen, the missions ministry pastor, right, retired this summer. During this year, usually he would share a message at the closing of the October Missions Conference. So therefore, guess who has to do it? I have been praying on this message since May of this year, for this sermon. And this Sunday will be the last day of the Missions Conference month, right? But the missions works, will not end forever and calling to his work. So the conference is still going. And reminder that this afternoon at 1:30, there's a topic called A Heart for the Unreached People, which will be shared by Minister Margaret, who returned from the field, right? So I give thanks to all of your prayers and encouragement for the conference so that we may continue to seek his word through fanning the flames for missions. So that's the theme for this year conference, so we can go through that. Okay. So this morning the message is on what? What does it mean to be sent? Right? The main idea is this. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Does it mean that you are sent with Jesus? You serve with Jesus? You sacrifice with Jesus? So what is the meaning to be sent? Jesus led us on the journey in seeking him and how to seek and accept his authority to his work in his kingdom. Okay? So here's the big picture. Let's look at this big picture of this message. Call for the Great Commissions. So we are concluding, 2021 October Mission Conference today. The theme on that is called Fan the Flames for Missions. Continue throughout the year, right? Not only this year, but continue throughout the years. This means that even when the conference ends, the focus is on what? Prayers. Prayer continue in missions locally and around the whole world. I have been reflecting, because of the conference, right? I have been reflecting of Pastor David Rowe's message, of what he had messaged to us and shared with us. He ended with these words, which touched my heart tremendously. He said, send young people to the fields. We need to support, pray, and be involved, regardless of your ethnicity. The calling being sent is applying to all Christians, as we are followers of Christ, right? So now we know that the big picture now on the call for the Great Commissions. And let's dive in this morning message to know more about this, okay? So again, let's go back to Luke. Please do allow me briefly to set the background of the message from the Gospel of Luke, right? Little is known about Luke. We do know for sure that he was a physician and the only Gentile to write part of the New Testament, Luke was a close friend of Paul, who referred to him as the beloved physician, and mentioned in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, during the final greetings. And he quotes, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you as does Demas, end quote. So here at the beginning of chapter 9, right? Is the message that we've reached the pivotal in this chapter. And it is the great pre-commissions. It is the turning point in Luke's gospel, where the first Christian mission began, okay? Up to this point, the main focus has been what? The identity of Jesus, who is he? Who is he? He heals people. He calms a storm. He explains the parables. And now, as we enter the second half of the gospel, Jesus begins preparing his disciples for his departure and suffering. And the focus shifts to what it means to be sent and follow Jesus. So what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Right? Let me repeat again. What it means to be sent and follow Jesus. And what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? If you look at the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 1 to 15, 1 to 15, where Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, right? It also indicated that such sending in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. The 12 are also inducted into greater responsibilities, not simply so that they can do more, and they can receive the power, they receive the power of proclamation and the authority through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. So this was the beginning of commissioning on sending the 12 out to spread the good news, right? And around those insight into Jesus' identity from previous chapters that we have mentioned earlier. So this brings us to what will it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? So we know all these criteria, we know what they need to do. So now we look at the what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? So it will mean being sent, the first one being sent, in verses 1 to 6, right? Being sent. Send out the 12 apostles. And to serve, verses 10 to 17, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and it will also mean sacrifice. Verses 23 to 27. It said, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Again, three things: sent, serve, and sacrifice. So, dear brothers and sisters and friends, perhaps you're a seeker and think about becoming a follower of Christ. Perhaps you're already a Christian. So, what does it mean to follow Jesus? It means that you are sent with Jesus, you serve with Jesus, you sacrifice with Jesus. What is the meaning of being sent? Jesus, lead us the journey in seeking him. In order to be sent, you need to what? Be equipped with the necessary tools, the skills, the strategy, and the plan, right? It is like doing a project for school, at work, a house, or anywhere else, that you need to be equipped with the right tools and skills. Recently, we moved to a townhouse, and my wife had a list of things for me to do. And I scratched my head. How can I finish all this job that we have to finish? What kind of tools that I need to get it done, right? Again, you have to explore and pray about how to achieve this job with the proper tool that you use. Praise the Lord, I was able to do it with a sweaty face every time I do that. So again, it is important to get the skills, right? So this brings us why Jesus summons them and transferred them the inheritance for the ministries, which is from verses 1 to 2. Verses 1 to 2, okay? So the intent of following Jesus Christ must be empowered by his word and by his authority. So Jesus summoned or called together the 12 and transferred the endowment, or they call it inheritance, of the Spirit through Jesus, as it's read in verses 1 to 2. It said, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal them. So the word summon, okay, the word or summon or call together in the NIV version has a strong connotation in the word of intent. and plan on having people get together, like inviting guests to a banquet or organizing a delegation. You plan to do something urgently, right? In this case, Jesus summoned them, the 12, to go out and fulfill his assignments, God's assignments. So the 12 do not happen to share in Jesus' ministry, but they are at willed by Jesus to do so, at willed. So it is calling from God to fulfill his work, and the command is firmly defined to the apostles. So they were assigned, no doubt about it. This is where Jesus called or summoned the 12 together, right? If you look at the word inheritance, the biblical interpretation on this word is referring to what? Referring to not only to the passing on or the land or the possessions from one generation to another, but also to the earthly and spiritual gifts which God plans to give to those who are his children. His children, right? God wants to care for his children. So when I derived the word inheritance in the context of this scripture, right, is a unique meaning to the 12 apostles because Jesus empowered them with the power and authority. The ministry of the 12, like Jesus' ministry, on proclaiming the kingdom of God, for which both Jesus and the 12 were sent. Again, Jesus and the 12 were sent because of that. So this is important for each apostle to have such power and authority to fulfill the preaching of the gospel. They are fully equipped and ready to go, ready to do his job, right? That's wonderful, wonderful. So here are a few powerful scriptures further explaining the Great Commission sent by Jesus and emphasizing the empowerment of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, "And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority," gave them the authority over unclean spirits, "to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction and endow them with the spirit in each of them." In Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out the demons." So Luke writes that Jesus sent them out, right, in verse 2, send them out on mission. That three words phrase in English is in one word in Greek called apostello, apostello. The word meant to send someone or send a message, send a message. So in Mark 6, chapter 6, verse 7, it said, "And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them the authority over the unclean spirits." As you can see, I have stretched the word authority repeatedly many, many times, right? So Jesus summoned these 12 for work, which was well beyond the existing skills. So the work, and they certainly were not able to do that without their skills. The other point is that what the disciples did not have, Jesus gave, right? Whatever you don't have, Jesus gives it to you to prepare yourself. Jesus gave them the power and authority for the work. The limitation would not define the work or their achievements, But the 12 have to witness what Jesus would do, and now they have his authority. So they were being equipped to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. These are the four to-do things listed for the 12, four things, right? We already talked about that already. But even then, what Jesus assigned the task to the disciple, which was not an extensive list, nor the whole job. The description that someone engaged in God missions, right, like to be determined, because your job is beyond what you have assigned. So Jesus, for example, he also fed the people, right? Calmed a storm, raised the dead, taught the crowds, and overturned the tables for money changers. None of those were in the list given to the 12, because those are not within the job descriptions. Okay? So let me share. Let me share what transpired in my heart during the recent conference. Right? One of the speakers, Pastor Nakajima, he's the pastor of the Church for Love, Joy, Peace Church. He shared that it is a challenge in connecting with Japanese people. Very challenged. Because why? Of his culture, right? They're well connected. They are rooted in the families. Sharing the gospel with them is tough. Very, very tough. Right? Us, we need to equip with God's grace, his grace, and be with them. Be with them, listen to them, show our love to them, and enrich a relationship with them. Do not treat them as a number that you have to meet, that quote-unquote number, but with love, with the love of Jesus Christ. This will take a long time, right? Very long time. And the fruit of the love, joy, and peace will do the work and bring all of them together in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what do all this mean to us in the power and authority from Jesus Christ? Right? We need to be fully equipped with his scriptures, the empowerments, and the authority when we go out and let the Holy Spirit lead us. Bring the gospel to them. Be the salt and light. Equip us with his word, the joy and the love. We need to equip ourselves with the love of Christ so that we can ignite the flame of fire in a people's heart and see God's love through us. So what are our dilemma that Jesus empowers us with his authority? Have we prayed? Have we prayed and considered on taking the next step that we can fulfill his work when we are living locally in the Somerset, New Jersey area, right? Now we have the equipped skills from Jesus, knowing that he is with us all the time. What will be our next step in preparing us to go out? What should I bring with me? And how to advance the next step to promote the gospel, the gospel. The next step I would see would be trusting God while going out for the gospel. In verses 3 to 6, it said, "And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money. Do not have two tunics, and whatever house you enter, stay there. And from there depart, and wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testament against them." So they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Brothers and sisters and friends, the gospel must continue despite the challenges. And we must continue to proclaim the truth. Right? The advancement in trusting God is a must in doing his work, as the journey in mission will be quite challenging. It will be quite challenging. We assure you for that. So allow me to explain further. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 9 to 15, Mark 6, 8 through 11, Luke chapter 10, verses 4 to 11, and also chapter 22, 35. These scriptures say the similar messages, us telling the disciples to take utterly nothing in the journey, travel light, wear a sandal and one tunic. Shake off the dust that is on your feet when you have visited some places. This is the symbolic way of saying that I have done all I can in sending the gospel. Right? It is all I can do, basically. Place the rejection behind and continue to reach others. Go forth, go forth, don't stop. Similar to the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 51, it said, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. Paul and Barnabas had done so much they can do at the Antioch area, right? But that didn't keep them stopping, not doing anything. They keep on spreading the good news, spreading the message to all other areas, to all other areas. So we have been polarized of today's world occurrence and change our lifestyle to be more self-alert in connecting with others. We have been a hybrid type of Sunday worship just right now, right? We do hybrid. It is evident that it is affecting that the way we fellowship among our friends, our relatives, even in the mission fields. We reach out others by leveraging today's technology, equip ourselves with the proper social etiquette in observing the effects of health issues around the world. So God continues to equip us with His word, with His powerful word, that through prayers and reaching out community like Hindus, Jews, Japanese, and Muslim ministries, connecting with the unreached people and prayers on the callings to be sent, calling to be sent as a part of the multicultural missions, right? So let me connect all these points together, all this together. So in the modern day, we would have all the proper plans for taking a long trip, stay in a decent place, right, for rest. But Jesus provided nothing to the 12, nothing. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt, etc. Whatever house you enter, you stay there until you leave that town. So the intention was that Jesus want what? The disciple to travel light, focus on the tasks that they have been given, the tasks they have been keeping. Continue, right? Continue to do the gospel to fulfill the Great Commission. Maybe as I see this incident, their mission would be short. I don't know. Could be short, right? Right? Or they didn't need many things. Perhaps Jesus did not want them to look like they had any wealth in case of people might think that they were preaching for profit. So Jesus firmly meant them to learn trust. Again, trust God. Trusting God to provide what was fundamental to the discipleship and the mission. Such words of trust appear in the passage in Matthew's Gospel that he would tell them not to worry about what they will eat or what they will wear, and not to set their hearts on food or drink, because the Heavenly Father knows that they need what they want at that time. They should seek God's kingdom. They should seek God's kingdom, and everything else would be given to them as well. Right? In Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 31, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Both referring to do not be anxious, trusting the Lord and seek Him first. So on this early mission, they could have no staff, no bag and everything, right? But in whatever they do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a reflection from the mission conference also, right? Again, Pastor Roe was facing a great fear in a new place. Fear that of their children's safety, financial support, or the money issues, and the spouse needs. He was troubled in trusting God, when he was sharing this. He was really in trouble with trusting God. But what the inheritance and the power of Jesus Christ and power on the worrisome that he was facing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Right? Again, allow me for a couple more minutes to wrap up the whole thing. What does it mean to be sent? One of the sisters, I want to share with you, one of the sisters from the mission ministry who visited a Middle Eastern country for a short-term mission. She connected with a local mother in one of the Middle East countries who happened to have a daughter residing in New Jersey with a family in New Jersey, very, very nearby. When the missionary sister returned to New Jersey, she received a panic call from this lady overseas, stating that, asking for help to save her daughter due to a domestic violence. Right? So the sister does not know the daughter, nor have they met previously. Somehow, this sister, and accompanied by another co-worker, attempted to meet up with this lady, this daughter, to see what is her condition. By the grace of God, amen, by the grace of God, not knowing what she looks like, somehow they met in the building complex while they were walking together to the school bus to pick up her child. They continued to talk, converse, right, and to make sure she's safe. They pray together for the family, also praying for someone who will be able to care for her locally. Guess what? At the bus stop, a sister from the English congregation happened to be there to pick up her son. Isn't that amazing? At that same time, that is a sister from EC who's trying to pick up her son, and yet we were praying hard, who can take care of this lady? So this is indeed God sent to fulfill God's love and care for this battered mother within the same complex. Within the same complex. Right? Remember, there's a quote that I'd like to share, with you from the Design God Ministry. It is said very, very, very truthfully, applied to all of us basically. There's no fire without burning, and there's no church without mission. Again, let me repeat that. There's no fire without burning, and there's no church without mission. And what is your calling to fan so that the gospel will shine brighter than ever? And I would like to share the roles of a missionary which summarized this morning message. He said, a Christian missionary is an ambassador of Christ, obviously, right? Each of us must be abide to the Lord, loving him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Specifically, a missionary is the one whom God sent through the support of the church to the unreached. Again, through church support for the unreached people, right? All Christians, however, are called to be missionaries of the gospel. Don't forget, the missionary job is to spread the gospel, nothing else. So the Lord works through them to rescue the lost. What greater call can one answer? What are the role as a follower of Christ? Jesus empowers us. We can trust him. We can trust him on leading us to fulfill the gospel and encouraging us as we answer the call. So finally, I would like to share a quote from John Piper, which he said perfectly defining the meaning of good news. Quote, if the gospel did not bring us into the enjoyment of the person of God, it would not be good news. It would not be good news. End quote. So we're encouraged by Jesus, his promise, his provision to all of us. May we all fulfill the Great Commission at least locally in New Jersey, as we have been clearly instructed by His Word and by His Scripture. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up Your name on high, and Your steadfast love endures forever. May You grant us the calling on reaching the unreached people. Let us be Your salt and light so that we may be sent by Your will and authority. May You grant us joy, peace, love, and thankfulness so that we may share all Your perfection with others. We pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.